flying in his states, and his young life was taken away from him. But she still wrote those words about there is a Redeemer. And it, a testimony of God's faithfulness, even in the saddest times of losing your husband. Matthew 6, we're going to focus on prayer tonight. Bible this morning in prayer, really like fish and chips, they go together. Bread and butter, they're the back to basics that John Major used to say. We go back to the Bible and we go back to prayer, and we're going to focus on prayer this evening. And this passage, Matthew 6, the Lord Jesus is talking himself about prayer, and there's no better one to go to. Verse 5 says, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling on like the pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And just a couple of verses I'd like to read on to 18, really. And when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. May God help us to understand his most precious word. Let's come now to God in prayer, as we are instructed to in that passage, as we pray for our world. And there will be times of quietness where we can make our own prayers to God in the quietness. Let's come to God in prayer now. Our Father God, we thank you for calling us on this Sunday evening to come aside and meet with you and meet with each other. Father, we thank you for the freedom that we enjoy in this country, that we can come to your house and worship you without fear of persecution or imprisonment. And Lord, we lift up our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world where this is not the case. We pray for those brothers and sister from India who was sharing with worship with us this morning, as they go back to their situation on Wednesday, that you will keep them firm in their faith, Lord, in persecution, and how they remain faithful and strong in their love for you. We pray for these persecuted brothers and sisters all over the world. And we ask that you will strengthen them. Father, we pray for our world in all the confusion and sadness that we see on our television screens, our radios, our newspapers. We pray for all those families affected by those terrible tragedy of that lorry in Essex, Lord, and the families from Vietnam and other parts of the world where they lost young lives, Lord, for just a hope of a better future, Lord. We pray for them this evening, Lord. We pray for our country and in all the uncertainty at the moment, that you will direct our leaders and those in authority. Give them godly wisdom. Give them assurance, Lord, of walking in your pathway. Pray for our members of Parliament as they go back to Westminster tomorrow and talk about an election, Lord, and all the future, Lord, of Brexit and everything else, Lord. We ask that you will speak through those people that love you and follow you. Be with all those, Lord, who are going through difficult times, whether illness or bereavement or sadness, Lord, or concern for their families, or uncertain about the future, Lord. We just in a moment of quietness bring those people that are on our hearts to God in prayer. Lord, teach us to pray like the first disciples asked you, and may we be men and women of prayer, calling out to you and seeking your face, Lord, and following your ways. Lord, speak in the stillness tonight as we wait upon you. Hush our hearts in expectancy, Lord, to hear from you and to follow you, Lord. Give us receptive hearts, Lord, and open minds. And Lord, speak, and may we listen, and Lord, give us grace to obey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we turn to God's word, we're going to sing, "There is a Higher Throne." I wonder if you heard the story about the husband and wife who... The husband was concerned for his wife because he thought that she was losing her hearing. So he stood at the kitchen door and said to his wife, "Dear, what are we having for tea tonight?" No reply. He got a bit closer and he said, "Dear, what can we have for tea tonight?" No answer. Then he was standing right behind her over her shoulder and he said, "What can we have for tea tonight, dear?" And she said, "For the third time, we're having fish and chips." Some men think that their wives don't hear, but some men got selective hearing, I'm told. When they want to listen, they will, but if it's something that they don't like to do, then they switch off. But tonight, we're going to be like Samuel. "Lord, speak, your servant is listening." And I was drawn to our topic of prayer. I'm sure I'm not the only one, I hope I'm not, in this place tonight that needs help and encouragement in the prayer life. No matter how long we've been a Christian, there's always something more to learn about prayer. And do you and I realise what a wonderful communication this is? 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. But the question I like to pose to myself and to you, do we make full use of it, and do we really revel in the privilege of prayer? The communication line with God. We looked this morning at the Bible. God's word as it speaks to us. But prayer is us speaking to God and God speaking to us. And we see in these chapter 6 of Matthew some wonderful guidelines to our prayer life. And I like us to look at these verses from Matthew chapter 6 verse 5 if you want to have your Bibles open. And we're going to consider prayer and the importance of prayer. I don't know if it's true about this church, but the prayer meeting can be the least attended meeting of the week. And that says something about us, or says something about our belief that God answers prayer, or why should we turn up to pray? But we should be men and women of prayer, believing in prayer. And we read in 5 and 6 of Matthew 6 what prayer should be like and what it shouldn't be like. We're instructed not to seek to draw attention to oneself in public, but to pray in secret in verse 6, to shut the door and to go and be quiet. The opposite were the pagans and the Pharisees love to stand on the street corner and be seen by people and be praying and be considered religious people. Rather, Jesus tells us to be quiet, to be alone with God. If you look at the accounts of the Gospels, you have Jesus often going away from the pressures of ministry to draw strength from his Father in prayer. And if I ask you, if Jesus needed to do that, how much more do you and I do? Him being the Son of God needed to be quiet and to draw strength from his Father. How much more do you, and certainly I, need to make prayer a priority in our lives? So don't seek to draw attention to yourself, but to pray in secret. We're called to make space in our busy lives, like Bible reading. It's not going to be easy. But we find time to watch our favourite TV programmes or to go and watch our football team play. So we could make time to pray. But is it undistracted attention? Do we give God our undivided attention? I don't know, but sometimes in conversations with people, and I was sometime when I lived in Eastbourne, I was a chaplain in a shopping centre, and we were there sitting at a table for people to come up and talk to about any problems that they might have. And you got some people come and they told you their life story, and so easy to switch off and try and redirect the conversation to what you want to get it on, and you're not really paying attention to what they're saying. There's one thing that you can give a person in life that they really value is undivided attention. I've been guilty of not listening to someone just with half of my attention, just with half of my ear, and thinking about what I'm going to do next or what I'm going to have for tea. And how much more do we do that in prayer? We come to God in prayer, but also we think about what we're going to do later in the day, what shopping we got to do, what people we got to visit, what plans have we got to make. Jesus says to come aside, to seek my face, and to draw close to him. We're called to give God our undivided attention, and it means hard work, it means listening, and it's not incidental, I think, that God gave us one mouth and two of these. God expects us to listen as well as speak. And when we come to prayer, do we come with a long shopping list of all about our family, all about our requests, all about our pains and our aches? Or do we come listening to God and asking him to speak to us, and then we might speak to him? Whenever any of you, or I don't know, any of us will be invited to meet the Queen, we don't start the conversation. We wait until we're spoken to. And how much so with prayer? But God loves to hear us. God doesn't say, don't talk to me, but he does expect us to listen as well. There's that silence, but is it really silence in prayer? We might go on day retreats. We might shut ourselves away from all the distractions of phones and televisions and computers. But how silent are we? How still are we? Psalm 46 says, be still and know that I am God. And how often do I, and may you, make time to be still and know that he is God? May God graciously help us to give him our undivided attention, and not just half-heartedness. Because if I read the Bible, right from the Old Testament, right through to the New Testament, one thing that the Lord and God disdained was hypocrisy, saying something and not following it through, not preaching what you talk, being false, hypocrisy. I have trouble saying it, but you know what I mean. It's saying something. It's good about talking the talk, but how can we walk the walk? How do we walk with Christ day by day? By prayer. And Jesus gave us an example, a blueprint, the Lord's Prayer, we call it, the disciples' prayer. Sometimes when we say something week in, week out, it loses its significance. And that's a danger, I think, that we can repeat it like parrot fashion and the words just come off our tongues and we don't realize what we're saying. But if you take every phrase bit by bit, you really draws you up. It really pulls you up by your bootstraps and realizing what you're praying. The prayer that Jesus gave his disciples and to us is full of adoration, worship. It's full of confession, saying sorry. And it's full of petition, asking. Any father, any mother loves to be asked by their parent, by their children or grandchildren for something. Even if they're at a shopping queue in the supermarket and they're screaming the shop down for those sweets that the supermarket's put at the till, just as a temptation to children, I think. But parents love to respond when they see it most appropriate to give to their children. And how much more our Heavenly Father wants us to pray. If you look at verse 9 of Matthew 6, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It talks about God's greatness. It talks about God in heaven, his holiness, his name, his nature is to be worshipped. Hallowed is another word for honored, worshipped, loved. And we can call our Father in heaven, Abba, Father, because he loves us, but also with reverence, with respect. We don't take God's greatness lightly. We don't run into his presence in a sort of hard-hearted way. But with all seriousness, we come to God in prayer. We pray for his sovereignty to be on this earth. Your kingdom come. And what a different place it would be if we saw God's kingdom come, God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. If we really believed and we saw that, what a transformation would take place in our nation, in our world. And then in verses 11 to 13, we get the prayer turns to the area of provision and our dependence on him. In verse 11, we read of the Father's provision for his children. Give us today our daily bread, our daily needs. You remember back in the Old Testament where God's people were provided with manna for one day at a time and double portion on the Sabbath. But if they collected more than their daily lot, the bread turned moldy and green. And there's nothing worse than moldy bread. We are called to take one day at a time. That lovely, is it lovely spiritual song? Lord, teach me to take one day at a time. I don't know about you, but one day is enough to get through rather than worrying about tomorrow or yesterday. Jesus says, I'm the same yesterday, today and forever. And we are called to be people of today. And then in verse 12, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. We are called to be forgiving people. And then verse 13, our moral condition is addressed in this prayer. It covers everything, this prayer. Dependence, our daily needs, our moral needs. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. No temptation, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, no temptation has seized you or I, accept what is common to all people. But this is a wonderful truth. Paul goes on to say, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he also will provide a way out so that you can stand under it. God knows our limits. God knows our areas of our life where we're weak and resistant, where we're easily tempted. But if we remain faithful and we call out to God, God keeps his part of the bargain and remains faithful. What did Jesus do when he was tempted of the devil? He called on God. He called on the word of God, and he relied on his Father. And how much more do we need to do that when we're tempted? It's not a sin to struggle with temptation, but it's a sin to give in to it. And then in verses 14 to 15, we are taught the importance of forgiveness to others and to ourselves. Some people in the Christian church I come across can be overtly hard on themselves. How can God forgive me? What have I done to deserve God's mercy? But we, at those times, we need to look and draw comfort from the words of Isaiah, chapter 1 and verse 18. Come now, the prophet says. Let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be like wool. I love that contrast between wool, perfect white, and crimson, red, white as snow, and scarlet, blood. That's what Jesus has done for us on the cross. Though we come full of sin, but when we're in Christ, it's like the slate has been written clean. We're righteous in God's sight. We have a God who truly forgives and forgets. I love that story where it says that whenever we, as a Christian, we should always put a sign by our lives, no fishing here. We don't go looking for our sins, because if we did that, we'd soon be down in the dumps, because we know what sort of people we are. But God says, no fishing here. I dealt with that. Move on. But how sad to me that there's grievances in church, and when you talk to people, their experience is very raw, like it only happened last week, but then you find out it happened about 20 years ago and they still haven't spoken to their brother because he did something or she did something. That shouldn't be so in the church. How will they appear before the God and say, why didn't you forgive him? I forgave you so much. What does that parable in the New Testament say about Jesus when we come to bring our offering? If we have anything against a brother or sister, we should put that right first before we give our offering. How often do we disobey that? I know I might have done that in my life, where we haven't put things right. There's a real danger that if we don't forgive other people, that affects our spiritual life. It certainly does. And it affects our physical life. Maybe we can't sleep at night. We wake up and we can't go back to sleep because something is on our mind. Wouldn't it be best to write that letter, make that phone call, put that right with your brother and sister where there's still time? And then you will be blessed and they will be blessed. There's no place for unforgiveness in the church, I believe. So we can see that the prayer was very important to Jesus. It's in the parallel account of the Lord's Prayer in Luke 11. It's in response to one of the disciples saying, Lord, teach us to pray. And he gives them an example of the Lord's Prayer. It's a prayer of personal devotion, of asking God to meet our daily need, to be dependent upon him, and to grow and to forgive and to walk in his way and to be strong in temptation. Prayer is our line to God. one person, I saw a little verse, a motto verse outside a church once, and it said, 1 week, W-E-E-K, without prayer, makes 1 week, W-E-A-K, Christian or church. 1 week without prayer, or I would dare say 1 day without prayer would make a week Christian. It's like a coal on the fire. If you got one coal, it won't take long for that to go out. But if you got several in the church praying, then you're likely to burn on longer. And that's what prayer is. Something to keep us going and not to let the fire go out. The man from India said to me after this morning, he said how he cried out for God to renew the Christians in Great Britain. By his last 3 months visit to this country, he's seen the nation go far away from God. And he said that God's answer was prayer and passion. Oh, that we might be people of prayer, people of communication with God. God says to a little parable in the New Testament, it says about that little mustard seed, and you are the gardeners, you know how much you plant your seeds, plant your fruit, and they don't look very much when you get them from a packet from Lidl or wherever. You put them in the ground and you water them, you care for them, and they produce a harvest. Prayer can be like that. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Every time we come in praying in Lord's name, the Lord is there. He's the unseen guest. He's here listening to our hearts and listening to our prayers. May we be people of prayer. And I've taken just this slide here, and I've taken the word prayer, and I just put some ingredients that make up prayer as we close. P, I put that to mean praise for all that God is and has done and will do. It's good to start with thanksgiving, to remember answers to prayer. That's encouragement to one another and encouragement to God to say thank you. Ponder on how we should live and serve him in our response of worship day by day. Romans 12, Paul says our instructions, how we should live. I'd just like to read those two verses. Romans 12, Paul says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is good, is pleasing, and perfect will. That should be every Christian desire, asking God to reveal their will for their life, their perfect, pleasing, and good. And how do we do it? By making ourselves available as an offering. We bring our money to God. But as we give our money, we give our life as well. Every day this coming week, wouldn't it be great to wake up in the morning, to get ready for work or whatever we do, and say, Lord, I'm yours today. What would you have me do in your kingdom? What word would you say to those young babies and mums that come tomorrow morning here? How can I reflect the Lord Jesus to them? Ponder and praise. And then R, would just stand for repent, to say sorry for our shortcomings and to return. One of my favourite stories in the Bible is Luke 15, of the parable of the prodigal son. Did the father go out every day and look for his son and say what a terrible son he was? I'm not going to forgive him. He's wasted my money. He's gone off and sinned. He's carried on. No, every day he went out and looked for that wayward son and he ran. An elderly man running with his cloak up must have been a strange sight, very unusual in those days, but it showed how much he loved his son. And isn't that a picture of how God loves you and I? God always makes the first move. We comes back to us, run into the arms of the Father, repent and return, and then A, acknowledge all of his goodness and pray for one another. Prayer should always be an exercise in looking out to others and situations to pray for, and not just inward looking. And one thing that I really look for in every church service that I go to is, where is the prayer for the world? Some churches, it's sad to say that they're so inward looking, so nasal gazing, that they forget there's a world outside. Someone has said the church is the only institution for its non-members. It's not for those who are signed up. It's for those people outside who are walking in Bryn tonight and tomorrow morning. The church is an open door. How much do we pray for other people? If you tell someone you're going to pray for them and then you ask them a week later, how's it going? You might have to pick them up from the floor in their surprise that you really did pray for them, but also that God might have answered their prayers. And yourself, there's nothing more difficult, I find, to bring your own needs to God. We're often good at praying for other people, but we find it harder to pray for ourselves. But there's nothing wrong in praying and bringing our needs to God. God knows them already. We're not telling God anything new. God knows already. But he longs to hear, like any earthly parent, of asking for something that they want. He might say no. He might say yes. But still, it's good to ask. And yielding. Yes, Lord, if I don't get this, I still love you. I still follow you. I still believe that it's not your plan for my life. Yielding to God will, not holding a grudge, saying, oh, I wish if only God saw what I see. I know the best. None of us do. God knows best. Yielding to God's will. And then we will be like Paul, knowing that perfect will. That's the best place to be tonight, in God's perfect will. Not outside it, but in it. And really walking in it day by day. And then E, I put down to encourage one another and to inquire of the Lord. We should be seeking his will in our lives day by day. How we need that each day, and encourage one another. The Christian life is easy, isn't it? I don't think so. It's really tough. It's hard not to give up and give in. And the devil would love that. The devil would really say, one more saint gone. No need to worry about brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. They've given up. I've done my work. But how we could encourage one another and say, stand firm. Be always doing God's work, abounding in God's work. That would be a great place to find ourselves tonight. Abiding in Christ. John 15 talks about abiding in the vine, for without me, you can do nothing. How often we think, I can do everything, Lord. I can do everything. But without me, Jesus says you can do nothing. But then on the other side of the coin, you get Paul saying in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not I can do all things through my name or Paul Cox, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the secret of abiding in Christ, drawing strength from him, encouraging and seeking God's face. And then lastly, R, recall God's goodness. We come full circle, thanking God, remembering God. Do you remember the story of the parable where 10 men were cured of leprosy? 10 came back to say thank you to Jesus. No, my Bible says only one came back, and the other 9 presumed their healing, but one came back to say thank you and to rub salt into the wound. He was a Pharisee, a foreigner, Jesus applies to him. Don't let us take God's gracious kindness and answers to prayer for granted, but say thank you. There's no more wonderful words to say thank you to people for things that they've done, little things. And it really sense of encouragement. When was the last time you or I thanked someone for putting the chairs out, for doing the cleaning, for doing the coffee, for doing the singing or whatever? Don't take each other for granted. Prayer is remembering, thanking people, but supremely thanking God for the wonderful privilege of prayer. And may we find that lovely hymn that says these words: prayer is the soul's sincere desire, uttered or unexpressed, the motion of the hidden fire that trembles in the breast. Does your heart and does your breast tremble tonight because you know the power of prayer? Is it set on fire for God to move in this week? I came across this verse in my Bible reading a few weeks ago. It said, the issue isn't how much time we spend with God in prayer, but seeking him throughout each day and knowing that he's there. And just like this morning, where we focused on the Bible being the center of our lives, I would stress the importance of prayer so that we can be a blessing to people that we meet each day. Prayer is, I'm not ashamed to say, an acknowledgement of our need for God. I don't think it's a crutch or something to be ashamed of, that we Christians lean on God because God is strong enough to take our weight. And God delights in us leaning on him in prayer. He wouldn't have given us this wonderful means of communication if it wasn't important to him and to us. So what's the challenge for you and I tonight? To go away from this day where we focused on the Bible and we focused on prayer, the bread and butter of the Christian life. These are things that we can feed on and develop in our lives and in our communication with God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and 365 days in a year. Never in prayer do you get God saying, sorry, you're number 5 in the queue. You have to wait until number 4, 3, 2, 1 have been seen to. Access is available every day, every moment. Do you and I make that necessary in our lives? I think we would be richer people for it. And we would know God may graciously give us a passion for the lost people that don't know him. Your kingdom come, your will be done. We just close as I read those phrases slowly so that we might take them in before we sing our last hymn together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, now and forevermore. Amen. And we sing a lovely hymn.